And listen to me, he can't feed you while you're hysterical. He can't feed you while you're running around crazy. He can't feed you while you've lost your mind. But if you'll get still, if you'll get quiet, be still and know that I am God. If you'll get still, he's got the milk of his word laid up for you. He's got something he wants you to know, something he wants you to hear, something he wants to tell you, but you won't hear it as long as your ears are filled with noise and racket and you're running around crazy over this desert place in the need in your life. But if you'll get still, you're going to find he'll nourish you. He'll feed you. He'll provide for you. He's got it all in his word. And so maybe he's not only the God of desert places, but maybe he's the God of waiting places. Well, let's go on quickly. I'm about to finish. Girls, come to the piano. And so here's what the Bible says happens. The Bible says this. The Bible says that he takes this bread, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The Bible says that he took it. This is so interesting and just a beautiful picture. He takes this bread. Now watch what our Lord does. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it to the multitude. Well, that's one reason why I think you ought to bless your food every time you eat. You ought to pray. Say the blessing before you eat. I tell the girls, one of them likes to jump in before everybody else before we even said the blessing because she gets hangry. So when the food's set down, she piles in. I say, hogs and dogs are the only 2 things I know don't bless the food before they eat. So which one are you, a hog or a dog? So we ought to, but gee, what a beautiful picture. Jesus takes this bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And then he passes it to the multitudes. That's what he does with our life. He takes us. He blesses us. Oh, watch. He breaks us. And then he passes us out to the world to be used of him. Now listen to me. You can't sing until you've been broken. You can tell somebody when they sing if they've ever been broken before, been in a desert place. You can't preach until you've been in some desert places and he's broke you. You can't minister to anybody else unless you've first been in some desert places and been broken. And see, what happens is, I don't know exactly where the miracle took place here, but I feel like that I've got it pinned out and pointed out. I think the miracle, so somewhere in this process, they had to be a miracle of multiplication. Somewhere, these 5 loaves and 2 fishes began being passed out and passed out and passed out, and they multiplied till they fed 10,000 men and women and children, maybe more, and 12 basketfuls remained. Somewhere, it got, you know where I think it was at? Josh, I think it was not in the blessing, but I think it was in the breaking. I think he broke it and put it in the disciples' basket and it multiplied. Broke it, put it in the disciples' basket and it multiplied. Broke it, put it in the disciples' basket. And they're going around and they're going around, passing out, and as they keep coming back, he's still breaking and it's multiplying. Breaking and it's multiplying. Let me tell you what God does for you. When God breaks you, I want to say too, I think not only is he the God of the journey, not only is he the God of waiting places, I think he's God, the God of broken places too. Hallelujah for that. That when we're broken, he's still God. But he breaks us to multiply us, to double our ministry for him. So somebody here is in that breaking place, and here's why. Because God's multiplying your ministry for him. God's promoting you. He's giving you a platform on the next level to reach more people for him. There's things that come from brokenness that you won't learn anywhere else. When God breaks you because you followed him in desert places, these lessons you'll learn that you could have never learned in a seminary or in a textbook. But you got to walk through those places following our Lord to learn those deep truths. And one of those truths is that God multiplies our ministry through brokenness. Are you with me? Say amen. So he took it, he blessed it, he broke it. I want to tell you this too,
the people that I have met in my lifetime who have had the most power, who have had the most anointing, who have been blessed of God more than anybody I know, it is people who have been in desert places and have been broken. And God has multiplied their ministry and resurrected them and anointed them with power and unction. So see, you've been praying, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. Well, God said, okay, you want me to use you? Then I'm going to break you first. I'm going to lead you in some desert places. I want you to learn that I'll be your all in all. I want you to learn that I'll take your not enough. I'll take your you ain't got it, and I'll give it to you, and I'll make more than enough. God wants to teach you in those desert places. And so you say, God, use me, God, use me. And God says, I'll use you, but I'll have to break you first. And then I'll multiply you and send you out into the world. Are you truly with me? Say amen. Okay. So we've went through this text. We've kind of walked through it. We've seen what the Bible says. Don't close your Bible yet. You still need to be at Mark 6, chapter 30. We see that God has taken what little these disciples had and he's made much. Little is much when God is in it, amen? We see that God doesn't need what you don't have because who he is enough. See, that's what he wants you to learn. He wants you to learn that I am your all in all. I am sufficient for every need in your life. For every need in your life. It's always amazed me how we will trust God with our salvation, the difference between heaven and hell, for all of eternity. We'll lay down on an altar somewhere, we'll ask God to save us, God will save us, and we believe He saves us, we're sure about His salvation, we have an anchor down, and then when the smaller things of life come by. Everything is small compared to an eternity in hell without Jesus. You understand that? So God saving us is the biggest thing that could ever happen, the greatest miracle of all. But then life happens and we don't trust Him so quickly. A bill comes. We don't know how we're going to pay it. Trouble in our home, trouble in our marriage, trouble with our health. Things will happen. And we suddenly don't trust Him as much as we trusted Him with salvation. It's like, Lord, I trust you with heaven and hell, but I can't really trust you with this. I got to have my hands on it. Let me close. And so we're done. We kind of exegetically walk through the text. We've seen the miracles, the miracle of Him being God in the desert place, the miracle of waiting, the miracle of God breaking us. He's the God of broken places. So there's nowhere else we can go in this text. If I'm going to continue on, then I'm probably going to have to go to the next Bible story, to be honest with you. All in favor of me going on to the next Bible story, say amen. I seen you looking at your watches first. So we've arrived. We've made it. But then I go back and look in the text. First time I studied this. So I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I see all of the disciples. There's some beautiful pictures of this, by the way. You need to Google it, but see all of the disciples, see all, those 10 and 15,000 seated around a hillside in rank and in file where they've been set there. And the disciples start passing out the bread that's been the miracle bread that's been broken by our Lord, and it's multiplied, and He gives it to one and He gives it to another. And I can't imagine sitting down on my end of the row and knowing that the basket's coming down and I'm about to get some of it. And man, listen to me, I'm glad when you get it. I mean, it excites me to know that you're getting it, that God's helping you and God's feeding you. But man, when I'm sitting there and I know it's almost my turn, I can't stand it.
It's like a little boy waiting to open presents on Christmas morning, knowing that God's got some favor for me, knowing that God's got some grace for me, knowing that God's got some goodness in store for me. I'm glad when He does it for you, and I rejoice with you when He does it. But I've been in desert places too, and I've been broken too, and I like it when I know that it's got to be my turn, that it's got to be close, it's got to be near. Why? Because I'm trusting Him, and I've let Him know, I ain't got it, Lord. I ain't got it. God's never turned away a deaf ear to a cry like that. And so you're sitting there waiting this morning, waiting, waiting. I just want to ask you something. What if, when I give this invitation, what if it's your turn? Are you really going to sit in your place this morning? What if it's your turn? The basket's coming to you. Would you really choose to sit there and leave like you came? Or would you come down and let Him fill your basket up? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking it's all over with, but then I look back and Josh, I don't understand this. Jesus led them where? To a desert place. But then they're sitting down in ranks of 50 and 100, and the Bible says this. They're sitting in green grass. Did you see that? Where in the world does green grass come from? In the desert. So I figured, not only is He got the God of the journey, not only is He the God of waiting places, not only is He the God of broken places, but He's the God of my green places. And so I started looking back on my life. I started looking back on some desert journeys. And I seen that even though that God led me in a desert, He still give me green places to sit down in. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. They told my mama she had cancer. She had cancer. We went through the surgery. They took her kidney out. But I want you to know, when I look back and I see it all, I see God give our family some green places to sit down in. I mean, I'm talking about when you went through that divorce, God give you a green place to sit down in. When you were dealing with that wayward son, that wayward daughter, God, out of His goodness, He's so good to us that He gives us green places to sit down in. Yes, it may be the desert. Yes, green grass may not grow in the desert, and indeed it does not. But the Bible says that He's able to make an oasis in the desert. He's able to bring water in the desert. He's able to feed us in the desert. He's able to nourish us in the desert. And I'm so glad that in my desert places, God has given me green grass to sit down in, because God is so good. And so what you need to do this morning is this. Girls, you begin to play stand. Stand with me. What you need to do this morning is this. You're in that desert place. No doubt about that. Brother, I'm telling you, I've been there, and what's even more difficult to say is I know I'll be there again if I follow the Lord. Sometimes He leads us in desert places. But listen to me just a moment. What you need to do this morning is this. You just need to thank God for the green places that He gives you to sit in, even in the middle of the desert. Thank Him. Have you done that? Because what happens is, in a desert place, we get so focused on the desert that we forget to thank Him for being the God of green places. Bible says Moses, 40 years in Pharaoh's court, raised by a king, lived in the king's court, had the king's food, all of the favors and privilege of being a king. But then 40 years he was in the backside of the desert leading the flock of his father-in-law. From the king's court to the backside of the desert. And the Bible makes this small little phrase. And Moses was content. I'm going to just tell you something. It takes some spiritual depth to be content in the desert. But I want to tell you what will make you content is when you look around and you start seeing some green places God lets you sit down in. Even though you're in a desert, God, you give me a green place. Even though I'm dry and thirsty, you've given me a green place. Even though I'm parched, I've given you a green place, the Lord says, to let you sit down where you can be fed from the table of grace, where you can be nourished by the many-breasted one, where you can be given promises and given His Word. What I'm trying to say today is this: somebody's next this morning. Somebody's going to get it today. Somebody's going to be blessed. God's trying to encourage you that He's wanting to stretch you. That's what He did the five loaves, two fishes. He stretched them. Nothing hurts as bad as when God starts stretching you. So He's going to stretch your faith today and challenge you and just see if you can praise Him for the green places. Girls, sing, and I want you to come this morning. I want you to come from the back of that church, from the back, from the left side, from the right side, from the middle. I want you to move. If you've never moved before, I want you to say, "That's me. I ain't got it, but I'm thanking Him for green places." Sing, girls. Bless your heart, dear sir. Bless your heart. Oh, bless your hearts. Touch them, Lord. Yes. Yeah. Touch them, Lord. That's right. Amen. You need to come. Come. That's right. Amen. You come. That's right. Obey. Father, we thank You, Lord, for our friends, our family that's come. God, I'd pray and ask that, Lord, You'd touch them, Lord, all across this altar. Oh, thanks, God, they thank You for green places, and they acknowledge, Lord, we just ain't got it. We're leaning on You and trusting in You today, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yeah, touch our friends, our family, our brothers, our sisters that are gathered here. God, send them help today. Encourage them, bless them, and then, Lord, use them. Testimony unto You in Jesus' name. That's right. Amen. Amen. Touch this young man, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, have Your way. Amen. Amen. You come. It's not too late. That's right. He has. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Brother, tell me how I can pray for you this week.